Good morning, Greenwich, Connecticut. This is Hillary Phillips of the Healthy Hillary Show. And today I have the founder of PET, Elizabeth Koldyke Bobel, founder. And this is a partnership to end human trafficking. I'm very glad to have you on the show today. And I'm really thankful for all you're doing in the community. And maybe you can tell the Greenwich audience a little bit about PET and the PET organization and how you started it. And you have an event coming up and lots of things. So I'm going to give it over to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Appreciate people being interested in this topic. So I started PET, which is the Partnership to End Human Trafficking, just about 3 years ago when I had, you know, I've done a lot of mission work and a lot of relief and development work with various organizations. I've traveled to India, Africa, Central America, all over, and seen so much of the devastation of poverty and access to clean water, lack of health care, this, you know, all of the issues that plague developing countries. And one of the most terrifying things to see are, you know, women and girls being sexually assaulted, the abuse, and being trafficked. And basically, it just broke my heart, seeing girls, especially underage girls. And partly it's poverty is, there's a lot of momentum with poverty. There's a lot of good stories that relate to poverty. More people today have access to clean water. More people have access to medicines. More people have access to education all over the world. And so it's a really good story. But the story of trafficking is a devastating story. It's going in the wrong direction. There is just, it's a multi-billion dollar business globally. And what really, really sort of pushed me over the edge to just do something was when I learned how rampant it is in the United States. Mm-hmm. And not just in cities and urban places, but all over the country and in all 50 states and towns, in Greenwich, in Norwalk, you know, in our backyard. And that, as a mom and as a Christian, was just something that I couldn't sort of turn away from. And mm-hmm. so 3 years ago, I started this organization. And really what prompted me to pull it all together was I became aware of Thistle Farms, which is an extraordinary organization in Nashville, Tennessee, that has worked with women survivors of sex trafficking for over two decades. Mm-hmm. And to this day, they've worked and brought whole, you know, brought women back from the devastations of addiction and the devastations of being, you know, trafficked. And it's been just an extraordinary story. You know, they've really yes. done such amazing work. And it's a very holistic approach. The reason that I was so enamored with the model was because these women were not just brought off the streets and given mm-hmm. a place to live and given health care and restoration, but they were also given a job. You know, they're put into a social enterprise. And within 6 months of their recovery, they are working and they're learning job skills and making money. And it's just a really holistic, successful model. And mm-hmm. to this, you know, their success rate is roughly 85%. And
that's great.
To 90% when they make it through the first 6 months. So mm-hmm. it's just one of them. They've helped hundreds of women, you know, rebuild their lives.
So it's called Thistle Farms. It's Thistle in Nashville. Farms. And yeah. you're doing, locally, you want to do something similar to their program.
Right. So we are a sister organization. Mm-hmm. And we, our goal is to literally replicate their model mm-hmm. here. And they have about 40 to 50 sister organizations all over the country that are taking their model. And that's their goal, is to create this national network so that their 100-woman wait list will be able to be satisfied, so mm-hmm. women have other places to go. And there's more. It's just increase the number of beds for women that want to get off the streets and mm-hmm. want to rebuild their lives.
So when there's an arrest made and there's women that, you know, are rescued, the dilemma has been having a place for them to go.
Yes, right? There's really a lack of – there's a lack of beds. There's just a lack of – what women, adult women, really need who have suffered this trauma. Mm-hmm. And 95% of women that are either in prostitution or in sex trafficking were abused before the age of 12. So they're really victims. You know, this is just a – this is not a victimless crime. This is a – these are victims. And if you have been assaulted or traumatized at a young age, you really don't have the skill set to build your life. You don't – typically, you've lost your family. Typically, you've lost your children if you had them. Mm. Typically, you have an arrest record because you have been addicted to drugs and you've needed to get, so you haven't been able to get a job, you haven't had job skills. So it's just this kind of cycle that really leaves women very without resources. So what they really, what Becca Stevens, who started Thistle Farms, has learned throughout her career in doing this for the last 20 years is that these women need time and they need space to heal. And it's really a healing process. And what she does is she and her community, which is a beautiful community there, they walk alongside the women. You know, they just
That's
invite
amazing.
The women home. They give them a key. These women live on their own but in community. And she really doesn't prescribe. She doesn't tell them what they need or what they're going to do for them. She really just has a conversation. What do you need? And by asking enough of these women what they need, she has built, you know, a very customized, successful restoration program.
That's amazing. And so a lot of the women coming into that organization are, they're how old, you said?
It ranges anywhere between 20 and 50, I would say, you know, not young girls. These are adult women.
And they're 20 and they might have been abducted or brought into traffic.
Some have been abducted. Some have run away and then been coerced. It's a very sophisticated coercion process and grooming process. If it's a pimp who's trafficking and trying to take a girl into, you know, what he's doing. Some are just, they have no alternative. They might start in a strip club or they might start in pornography. Lots of times they'll begin thinking that they're having, they've been invited into a modeling job, turns out to not be a modeling job, well, a modeling job, but they're naked. And then they're told that these pictures are going to end up sent to their family. You know, it's just kind
That's
of this
terrible.
Whole horrible, you know, journey that they can end up on. And most of the time they just feel helpless. And, you know, as women, we can understand that if this is something that's happening to you, men are, you know, you're having to sleep with 10 men in a day. You're probably 99% going to be addicted to something because that's the only way you could tolerate this type of life. And that's really where it starts, because once you're addicted, you really are helpless, you know, and you have no way to get healthy. You have no way to stop, you know. You have no
and
way.
Where are these girls' families? I mean, you have kids, right? You know, if you have a 20-year-old daughter, where are their parents?
Well, like, the parents, lots of times, you know, I would say, I mean, we screened PET, part of our model. We have a 3E strategy. Our strategy is educate the community, embrace the victim, and empower the survivor. And what we've been doing for the last couple of years is really educating the Greenwich and wider Westchester, Fairchester community about this issue, because most people don't really understand that it's happening here and that it's a growing industry, and that it's, and you know, we, from the recent news, as we've seen with Robert Kraft and Jeffrey Epstein, it's happening among powerful men that we all know. And, you know, this isn't something that's happening just in the dark alleys of urban centers. So the parents sometimes are just, I mean, we screened a film called I Am Jane Doe, which I highly recommend anybody, it's on Netflix, to watch, which chronicles four girls that were sex traffic. They were, you know, taken in, and the mothers and the girls that decided to sue Backpage.com. And Backpage.com was the largest online platform for basically selling sex. It's since been taken down because there was such a movement after this film by constituents and people to, you know, reach out and say this can't happen. And so they've arrested the owners, the people that own Backpage.com, and they've taken Backpage.com. So that was a victory. But the young girl that came to speak at our screening, who had been trafficked in the film, and her mom came, and her mom never gave up. I mean, that's how she found her. She never gave up.
So she didn't know where she was, right?
She had no idea where she was. Well, sometimes she knew where she was but she'd run away. She was, you know, she looks like my daughters. I mean, she played soccer. She was a violin player. She was straight A student in Seattle and just ran away at one time and was seduced by this trafficker who was her quote unquote boyfriend, you know, which he was not her boyfriend. Soon she became addicted. You know, it was just this kind of subtle seduction and this subtle.
So he was looked like a nice guy to her.
Right.
And then.
Exactly.
Is taking her to nice places. And then all of a sudden, she doesn't even know what she got into.
Right. And all of a sudden it's, oh, you know, just do me a favor. I need some money. You know, will you sleep with this guy?
Oh, that's terrible.
And it just escalates from there for, you know, these poor girls who just really don't understand what's happening.
So it could be anybody's child.
Really. And it's happening, you know, the traffickers, it's a very sophisticated, it's a very profitable business because it's the fastest growing illegal business in the world. It is immensely profitable. primarily because the product itself is not doesn't cost anything. It's not like a weapon or a drug where you actually have a cost of goods, mm-hmm. and it's the item can be sold over and over and over. So it's thought to be that a woman will the profits from a woman to a trafficker can be $15,000 a day.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
So there's just a lot of money in it, and that's the problem. That's the biggest tragedy of this whole thing is how profitable it is.
And so this organization, PET, that's trying to stop the – and it is stopping the trafficking. You're working on this area mainly. What specific areas? Do you find more Stanford, Bridgeport?
I would say, two girls were taken off Backpage who were from Greenwich in December. Mm-hmm. So just as recently as December, authorities found two Greenwich girls on Backpage.com. So it's happening everywhere, you know. And in our area, girls, it's very difficult to know specifically where it's happening the most because this is a transit business where mm-hmm. girls are brought from New York all the way down. So we call it the I-95 corridor because the I-91, those are big trafficking sort of highways because mm-hmm. they're moving, and all the publicity around the Super Bowl was really just this idea that and it's not just the Super Bowl, it's the Indianapolis 500, it's any big event in any city, you're going to see an increase in trafficking.
I mean, couldn't it be at concerts? Like if there's
concerts,
like a...
Right. Yeah, I mean, it really is anything where mostly, I would say predominantly sporting events because that's predominantly men. So it's venues where it's going to be mostly men are going to be attending the venue and wealthy men are going to be attending the venue. Mm-hmm. So you'll see a spike in trafficking there. But the girls are coming from all over. The women are coming from all over. They're not just coming, the Super Bowl happens to be in Atlanta. They're not just Atlanta. They're brought mm-hmm. in from California and they're brought in from Las Vegas and they're brought in from New York.
Wow.
So it's really happening kind of cross boundaries and cross state lines and in all different mm-hmm. areas. So our goal is... First, education. Secondly, we want to have a home in mm-hmm. this area, whether it's whether it's Westchester, whether it's Norwalk, Bridgeport, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of locations we're looking at right now, and open a home for adult survivors in our area, women that are ready to rebuild their lives, mm-hmm. who just want a chance. They want an opportunity to leave the life and just become restored, become healed. Mm-hmm. And now, we will walk alongside them through that process.
Is that 50-year-old, when you say 20 to 50, is a 50-year-old somebody that's been in it forever?
For quite some time. So there are women at Thistle Farms who, they just get tired and they can't get a job mm-hmm. and their family won't speak to them and they're just broken. And it's really, I look at it as, it's not their fault, Mm-hmm. They were abused at one point by somebody, and that distorted everything for them. They don't understand love. They don't have any sort of self-esteem whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They can't get a job because they've never had a job. They have no job skills. They've been fully dependent on their trafficker or their pimp their whole life. And they're, we have to take responsibility as a culture that we are a culture that buys and sells sex. Mm-hmm. And so as just part of this culture, I feel responsible. Mm-hmm. Because we allow it,
Well, how do you prepare? Like, what would you tell parents around here,
I would tell parents to be very careful of just social media, to really be, because that's probably the biggest mm-hmm. tool right now. And that's one of the other reasons why there has been their steady rise is because, you no longer have to have girls on the street. It's a very, it can happen so much. A lot of the seduction can happen on social mm-hmm. media. And people, and we, most of us as moms know that, you think you might be talking to a 12-year-old girl and you're actually talking to, a 40-year-old man because there's mm-hmm. just, you don't know. And traffickers use that to seduce and to find young girls or teens who are insecure. Mm-hmm. And that's really, being insecure is a real, symptom of a potential person that would be drawn in because they use that.
Mm-hmm. So that's good to know. I mean, for parents things like, you raised four kids here. Like, I feel like there's a certain age that's not even a great idea to say, go to the mall, like with your friends because.
And the mall is a huge place where recruiters are. I mean, mm-hmm. traffickers are, where there, a lot of recruitment happens at malls, bus stops, subways, truck stops. Those mm-hmm. are the places where they just sort of linger.
So I think it's just the encouraging thing is to just be a good family together. You know, spend time with your kids, right?
And just be honest.
Know where they're going and what they're watching.
Right. And I always, because I have two boys and two girls, and I'm constantly talking to them about just images of women, sexual images of women and women putting themselves out there and how that is just speaking into this culture. Mm-hmm. And, so it's a constant conversation in our house.
Yeah.
You know, and the different, you know, lots of people make a huge distinction between prostitution and sex trafficking, and I don't personally. Mm-hmm. And this whole idea of legalization, I mean, personally, I do not believe that there should ever be legalization of prostitution or commercial sex. I don't believe it because mm-hmm. I just don't feel that it's, I think it's always a victim. I don't think any little girl grows up and says, wow, I can't
want to make it legal.
Right.
Like
that's what people discuss. And many people have this misconception that a quote unquote prostitute is doing it of her own free will. And I just never think that that's the case.
No.
Because if you were broken at one point in your life, if you were abused at one point in your life, you're really not in control. You know, you're not doing this out of a place of health and desire. You're doing it because you don't feel you have any choice.
And is there a hotline, too, that they could call if somebody was in trouble?
There's so the National Human Trafficking Hotline is the first stop. So mm-hmm. if you ever suspect you see somebody in a hotel or, you know, in an airplane or anything that just doesn't look right, so situations that don't look right, and Connecticut is the first state to mandate that hotel employees be trained to identify mm-hmm. human trafficking victims, and the airlines are all doing a great job of that as well because it's just becoming so apparent that, as I said, women and girls are being moved. Mm-hmm. So hotels and airplanes are obvious places where it's going to be happening. Mm-hmm. So when you see, an older man with a younger girl or with a girl or a woman who might not speak English or clearly is not related to this man mm-hmm. and looks uncomfortable and there's fear, you know, it's just, it should give you pause and
yes.
you may want to make a call.
And what about for that victim? I mean, they can always make a call too, right?
There's so much fear associated mm-hmm. with this. There's so much violence that's wrapped up in this that oftentimes they're just too afraid because mm-hmm. the violence that will happen to them if they're found out. And traffickers keep a very close control over any woman that's with them. You know, they're not giving them their phone and they're tracking everything that they're doing. And there's a lot of threats of violence, and not just to the woman herself, but to her family, to her child, to her parents, to her siblings. You know, mm-hmm. So the threats of violence are very high in this business.
Has PET helped a lot of women get out of the... And like out of this?
No, we have not, because we're so new mm-hmm. and our organization is not going to be on the emergency recovery side. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be actually pulling women out of this, mm-hmm. you know, as federal officers are doing, and some IJM and some of the other organizations are actually on the front lines pulling women off the streets. Mm-hmm. We are sort of a little bit down the road. We're for mm-hmm. a woman who is probably clean 90 days minimum to 6 months clean, and who's mm-hmm. probably been arrested four or five times and really is now ready to make a 2-year commitment, because we're long-term housing. Our program is not for short-term emergency housing. It's for mm-hmm. long-term housing. So it's really a full holistic restoration program. So we're not on that side of it, but we will work with law enforcement mm-hmm. as much as we can to, you know, raise awareness and also just to be there for the fifth arrest when the woman really does say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to do something totally different.
And the sales of PET products is part of this too,
yes.
right?
So similar to Thistle Farms, which sells body products, beauty products, candles, essential oils, that's the business that they, mm-hmm. these women are in, and they're involved in manufacturing, they're involved in marketing, they're involved in distribution, and it's an incredible business that is now over $3 million. So you'll see these products in Whole Foods, and it's just an incredible success story. And so we decided to take PET products mm-hmm. as being sort of our vertical market that we wanted to penetrate, because we feel that it's a huge business. It's growing exponentially, particularly in our area where mm-hmm. people tend to spend lavishly on pets. So that's the business side
of it.
Yes,
I just got
doing.
A pet.
So there you go.
Spending lavishly on.
So we have pet collars. We have dog collars, pet collars, leashes. And these are all made in developing countries where women are vulnerable to traffickers mm-hmm. due to their poverty. So we're empowering women overseas to create these products and then selling them locally and trying to, and also using the products to raise awareness. And then mm-hmm. we have some essential oil-based products that are actually made by the women of Thistle Farms. So we're sort of supporting their recovery through the essential oil-based products that we're making.
Okay. So and how can people buy those right if they wanted to do that?
So on our website, which is www.peht.org, you can purchase the products. We're also doing a rebranding, so we'll be launching a whole new sort of look and feel in a couple, in like probably about a month, mm-hmm. Which will have a whole new suite of products. So it's exciting to be doing that.
Get very excited.
And ultimately, once we have opened our home and our women are into our recovery program, we will pull them into the social enterprise as sort of the job skill building and help them, you know, from a economic empowerment piece by bringing them into the social enterprise.
And I imagine, are there any people that you've seen go through any type of program in Nashville that are they out speaking about it?
So we have an event coming up. Our first fundraising event is May 3rd. And we have we put together a church coalition. It's called the Pet Church Coalition. So four churches, Stanwich Church, Harvest Time Church, First Presbyterian, and Trinity, mm-hmm. have all come alongside Pet to bring their congregations into this and mm-hmm. really sort of promote, you know, people becoming aware and getting involved. And so we're having an event May 3rd where the churches will also be present and sort of sponsoring this event. And we have a survivor that will be coming to speak about her experience. She was one of the very first women to go into Thistle Farms, and she is still working there 20 years later.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, she's a force. She's amazing.
So she'll be at May 3rd, and it's where exactly?
It's at First Presbyterian Church.
Okay, because my church is sponsoring that too, Harvest Time.
Yep,
that's awesome. And you know, I think there's more churches that will probably get involved as you go forward.
Yes,
you know,
and we're looking for any church that has a passion for this, mm-hmm. for social justice and for trafficking, and wants to join our fight. We welcome them.
Well, it's so amazing that you're doing this because you know people think about a lot of different organizations, but it's, you know, it's a really hard topic, but it's really important. And especially being, you know, I'm a mom, you're a mom. You know, we want to keep our kids safe. You know, we want to teach them about, it's like the new neighborhood is the internet, right? Don't go into the bad neighborhood. It's right, they have it right on their phones.
Yeah, it's really hard.
A bunch of neighborhoods. Bad neighborhood. You know, they just need to do, we need to get back to the old way of living, right?
Where we your lips to God's ears.
Spend time with each other. Put your phones away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think people need. I think we're gonna see that. I do.
And part of this movement at Thistle Farms in Nashville, and what we want to bring here is this idea of community, of bringing a community around these women, and that's part of the healing process for both. For me, mm-hmm. as a woman, to be able to be a part of their healing is healing for me, you know, mm-hmm. and it's amazing to see how the community just comes together within Thistle Farms. And it's just so beautiful. You know, you just don't really see that as much, but that's part of it. And that's part of their healing is because of this community and this sisterhood that gets created through it.
And I'm sure they build really great relationships with each other at that.
Absolutely. They call it the circle. And once you're in the circle, you're never out of the circle. So it's a beautiful concept.
It's so amazing to have a place where they can, you know, and it's not short term because the trauma that you would go through.
Well, that's what Becca really mm-hmm. kind of realized through her, you know, just doing it, you know, mm-hmm. over the course of these last 2 decades. That's what became clear, is this is a very different population from someone who finds themselves addicted and homeless or mm-hmm. even domestic violence. This is just a very unique population that needs very unique treatment, very unique time. You know, it's just mm-hmm. longer, right? I mean, when you've suffered that, you're dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder and the violence that you've experienced, the trauma that you've experienced. It's not just 30 days, you know, what she has found, it's 24 months.
Yeah.
Which for a lot of people just seems like a really long time, but that's what has been required. It's a really difficult road back.
Well, the first year you're getting off of drugs and alcohol, and then the second year you're probably getting to the root of more, right?
You're just learning so much about yourself, and you're mm-hmm. learning so much. Really, what Becca says is we love her until she can love herself.
Yes.
And it does take that long for her to love herself because she's been through so much.
Can't imagine. You think about it, 50 years old and being in a lifestyle like that and then just being stuck, right?
You're stuck. I mean, it's, you know, there's no way out, really. I always say, you know, unless we offer women a way out, they will stay in.
Now, do they escape? How do they, like, are they able to leave these people? Is it hard for them to leave? How do they escape?
You know? I think it's very hard. And the way people get out is just, it's so, I mean, there's no one story. You mm-hmm. know, sometimes it's law enforcement, sometimes it's a bust. Like this issue in Florida, those women will be, that was a very long investigation mm-hmm. into that trafficking ring that exposed them. Sometimes it's that. And in that instance, those women had been trafficked from overseas, so spoke no English. Passports had been taken away. They were really helpless. So what will happen to them? I don't know. You know, it's just, it's awful.
Yeah.
Some will escape, you know. Some will be just, for instance, women at Thistle Farms who have gone through the program, they know who's out there, you know, and oftentimes they'll just say, are you ready to come in? You know, they'll go see them. You know, they know where they are.
Oh, they do?
Go talk to them. And oftentimes they're just not ready.
The people that they're connected to are willing to let people come over and visit them and things like that. It's mm-hmm. not like they're, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it's more of like a kidnapping situation, no? Like,
some are out in the street, though. So you can,
oh, okay.
But still, the mindset is that they don't want to leave because this is the only thing they know, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like that Stockholm syndrome, you know, mm-hmm. women just don't feel like they have an alternative.
Yeah.
So until they're presented with an alternative that they feel is a real alternative. Wait, I'm going to have shelter. I'm going to have, you know, food, and I'm going to get my services, and I'm going to get my teeth fixed. You're going to do all that for me.
Oh, that's,
you know,
amazing.
Once they realize
that's so great.
That,
so you do. You're going to help them with cosmetics, and
whatever they need. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's really the beautiful thing about the model is that it's not prescribed. You know, it's not. Mm-hmm. Well, you need this, and we're going to give you this. It's what do you need? You know, and for every woman, it's different. You know, some women are mm-hmm. addicted to amphetamines, and some women are diabetic, and some women have no teeth, and some, you know, and based on what they need is what we'll provide.
And a lot of them might have kids out there too, right?
Right. And that's one thing, we can't take mm-hmm. children. So they also, if they have children, mm-hmm. they have to be willing to step away from their children for 2 years, because we will not have a situation where we can bring women into the residence.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes they've lost their children. You know, their children are wards of the state, or their children are in foster care. So it's very sad.
Well, hopefully there'll be those stories where the mom gets it together and gets healed and is able to see their kids, and the kids, you know, it's just maybe they break the cycle, right?
And it's a beautiful thing at Thistle Farms. There's a gentleman who works in the production side mm-hmm. whose mother went through the program, and he's working there and she's working there.
You've been listening to The Healthy Hillary Show on 1490 WGCH, brought to you today by PET, Organization Partnership to End Human Trafficking. And the event is coming up May 3rd.
Yes, May 3rd at First Presbyterian Church in Greenwich. It'll be 6:30 to 8:30. And we hope that you will all come. And we'll be sending out invitations and information in early April.
Thank you. Elizabeth Koldyke-Vogel, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.